Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone and welcome to another Japan Top 10 episode. Today our episode will be about the top 20 J-Rock songs of the 90s. And together I'll be hosting this episode with none other than...
Andy! Hello everyone! Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you again too, Andy. So this is me, Ethel. Yes. And let's get the show on the road. So before we continue with this episode, I'd just like to announce to people that this will be a temporary final episode for me on the J Top 10 podcast, as I'll be taking a 3-month sabbatical to just do my own thing for a little bit. So I'll be seeing you guys possibly back in October, but yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I hope. I know. I'm so sad. I every time I get to do these wonderful episodes with you and we, you know, have our little catch up and everything, but I'm happy so that you will be able to relax a bit. So I hope all of our listeners will send their good vibes over to Ethel as she does some soul searching. No.
That is quite true. But yes, that's what I'll be doing. But anyway, let's head on to this episode and enjoy what we can as we relive our 90s J-Rock experience. Now, power up that Game Boy and dust off those acid wash jeans and tighten that scrunchie on your hair, because it's time to take a step back into a time when Visual K, Dekora, and Ganguro reign supreme as Japan Top 10 goes on a super voyage into the past to some of the best J-Rock songs of the 1990s. Now, the 1990s in Japan are known as kind of like the lost decade within economic turmoil and recession. People had to move back in with their parents, and it also saw the rise of video games, anime, and the continued evolution of J-Rock.
Yes, that is right. But of course, like many things around the world, rock was not developed in the 90s in Japan in a vacuum. And bands were, of course, heavily drawing influence by successful Western bands reaching back to the genres from the 50s and 60s in the beginnings. And, you know, out of this, the 90s, J-Rock painted its own path, taking elements from many other countries to create something uniquely Japanese. I mean, basically the J-Rock empire that we know today.
That is so true. And the story of J-Rock in the 1990s continued the development of the 1960s Youthful Rebellion with elements of heavier tones from the 1970s rock, metal, punk, and glam music genres, as well as the 80s keyboard-driven post-punk, but all with a distinctly Japanese style.
That is definitely seen, it will be seen throughout our list of songs here today with all of the Visual K and whatnot. But, of course, this often meant using less blues and pentatonic scales, and it leaned more for a jazz feel with different takes on rhythms, which was something quite different from American bands at the time. And it also used, heavily drew on the Odo progression, otherwise known as a lot more sevenths and things in the rhythm. So a little bit of music background for all of our musically inclined listeners.
Now, by creating many different subcultures within the music scene, from Visual K, alternative rock, to noisecore and pop punk, it kind of built on the band boom of the late 90s. So J-Rock was also reaching a much wider audience, both in Japan and globally, such as going through anime theme songs that were used in Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, and Sailor Moon themes, which have infiltrated homes across the world, and even then when Fuji Rock Festival was held for the first time in 1997.
Definitely. So with its such like wide variety of styles, the J-Rock of the 90s continues to influence bands today, whether they know it or not. And I honestly think this is a lot of people's, at least mine as well. You know, a lot of people's kind of into the deeper world of Japanese music. So I'm sure a lot of people will listen to our list here today and recognize a lot of band names, maybe even some of the songs, and get to relive that, like, nostalgia burst that, you know, continues on its legacy to now.
Yeah, I'd also like to point out that during the 1990s, Andy and I were probably babies, or, like, in kindergarten or something by the time some of these songs came out. So it is nostalgic to some people older than us. There are some songs that we do know in this list, but let me just tell you that not all of them we do know. So when we decided to volunteer for this episode, I was like, oh, from the 90s. I was like, oh, even the early 90s. So I was just like, ah, we might not know those.
Definitely no. I mean, right? I think it's like that. It's that thing where a lot of the younger generation kind of feels that nostalgia for something we never actually experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Our 2021 annual listener survey is out. Please give us just 5 minutes of your time to let us know how we can improve on our podcast. And in doing so, it will give you a chance to win a $100 US gift card for a retailer of your choice. So, for more details on what you can do and to take the survey, please check out our website at jtop10.jp.
That's right. Thank you so much, Andy, for a little announcement break. So make sure you guys do our annual listener survey because we really want to know, all right? Now, coming in at number 10 is The Pillows with their 1997 single, Strange Chameleon.
Number 10.
Strange Chameleon.
The Pillows, formed in 1989 and has gone on to release 22 studio albums from Moon Goal, released in 1991, to Rebroadcast, recently released in 2018, and have sold over 40-something singles throughout their entire life as a band. With a wholesome take on the alternative rock scene and rock genre, and inspired by the lyrical folk rock of Simon and Garfunkel and classic British pop like The Beatles and The Jam, The Pillows are known predominantly and very famously for the soundtrack to the anime series Furikuri or FLCL, the OVA series. Strange Chameleon, that you've just heard by The Pillows, is the sixth single that they released as a band and is featured on their album Please Mr. Lost Man. The album's title is a play on Please Mr. Postman by The Marvelettes. I'm not sure about you, Andy, but do you know The Pillows?
Yes, and only because of Furikuri. I remember watching that, you know, in the States as a high schooler, and yeah, I fell in love with the sound then, and I love it still to this day.
That is also the same thing for me, so I only heard The Pillows when I started watching Furikuri. But I have like a couple of friends who really do love The Pillows, and I get it. They have such a interesting rock band sound, but their lyrics are so melodious.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I don't know, I think the more time I spend with J-rock, you just get all these different layers of, yeah, you kind of like, I feel like with The Pillows especially, you kind of see the influences come out quite heavily, like where they're drawing all from, you know?
So it definitely completely resonates with me how the pillows have been one of the early works of how modern Japanese rock has been shaped.
No, definitely. Well, I mean, speaking about how J-Rock has shaped and formed, I think our next band has probably produced quite an influence, if not amongst other musicians, but also fans, and that is, of course, GLAY. And this song that we're featuring is Yuwaku from 1998.
Number 9.
GLAY formed in 1988 and actually made their major debut in 1994. They have arranged songs using elements from a wide variety of genres, including progressive rock, punk, electronic, and even gospel. Originally, they started as a Visual K band. The group actually slowly shifted to a less dramatic look over time. Yuwaku was Glay's 13th single, and the track became the best-selling Japanese single of 1998, and was even used as the TDK mini-disc CM commercial song. Ethel, do you have a any, like, what is your personal relationship to Glay?
I am actually not really a big Glay fan. I am more of a LaArt fan than Glay. So I think, so for both the big players, which are Glay and LaArt, one of their biggest influences were both X Japan, if I'm not mistaken. And you can tell by the early years when they did the whole Visual K thing. I used to get a little bit confused between LaArt and Glay because they look quite similar. Yeah, and they sounded kind of similar, and then they kind of like diversified a little bit. And I mean, LaArt had height, and I'm just like, hi.
I get it big time.
Yeah, but yes, prominent early heavyweights in the Visual K industry, apart from X Japan, Johnny Art, was Glay and LaArt Pinchel. Yeah, so now that we've taken you to at least, I have no idea, I've lost count, honestly, 20 to 9 of so many types of Japanese rock style bands from Japan. We're gonna take a small break, and here are some announcements. Would you like to advertise on our podcast and market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural based podcasts and reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis and with advertising costs that will fit your company's needs? Now, if you'd like to know more, find out full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit what you can advertise on our podcast. Now, coming in at number 8 is none other than the best, I can't say the best, all of them are the best. Another very, very, very good, amazing Japanese rock band, Bizu, with their 1993 single, 愛のままわがままに僕は君だけを傷つけない。 Number 8. So, the song that you've just heard, which is 愛のままに、わがままに僕は君だけを傷つけない、which means, even if love is selfish, you're the only one I won't hurt. Aww, such a sweet title. Which is basically the 12th single released by Bizu and the theme song for the Nihon TV drama series Sayuki, which is Journey to the West. The single helped Bizu win the Best 5 Singles Award at the 1993 Japan Golden Disc Awards. And although it was one of their breakthrough singles, the track was a non-album related release.But has since been included on Bizu's Best of Album series. So Bizu, I know it's, we say a band, but it's actually a duo. But a very amazing duo. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I feel like a broken record because we keep saying, the best, so influential. But it cannot be understated. Like, I just think you look at...you listen to, first of all, any of their songs, and you kind of hear the through lines that have carried over to the biggest hits, or the biggest hit makers now. But yeah, and also just a band that has gone through a lot of different, like, sounds, if that makes sense, like, have explored a lot of different variations of their own J-rock sound throughout their long, long career.
They're, like, over 30 years as a band, I'm pretty sure.At least over 33 decades. And it's insane. They're mad. They are still performing, by the way. They are still very, very, very active. And personally for me, Bizu, in terms of consistency, they have been consistent since the get-go, since they've started. And Koshi Inaba, who's the vocalist, and Takahiro Matsumoto, who does the guitar work for Bizu,I think they deserve to be one of the, literally, if not the best act in Japan by far, but one of the most hardworking bands, a Japanese rock bands, or a band in general in Japan.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree. I 100% agree. yeah. Well, we're going to take a small detour away from that and move intomaybe a band that, I mean, maybe I'm sure a lot of people and our listeners are very intelligent and well-versed in Japanese music, but maybe not so many people have heard of, and that is Shonen Knife with their song Concrete Animals from 1993.
Number 7.
Thank you.
Shonen Knife is an alternative rock band formed in Osaka in 1981, actually. And they were heavily influenced by 1960s girl groups, pop bands, the Beach Boys, and early punk bands such as the Ramones. This song, Concrete Animals, was included on the album Rock Animals and was originally released September 8th, 1993 in Japan. And for context, that was just 4 days before I was born.
What? Nice.
Yes, so maybe this is like my spirit album. Like, I need to connect with Rock Animals. I guess just to simply ask, Ethel, have you heard of Shonen Knife before?
I've never heard their music, even to this day, but I have seen their names floating around on a lot of roster lists, set lists for like festivals and such. But I believe Shonen Knife has a very big following in Europe, because every time I am sometimes in Europe, I do see their names pop up in a lot of alternative indie live houses. They travel extensively, I think, a lot in Europe. They do, in the UK especially, so yeah.
That sounds about right. I remember, I can't remember, it was an episode I scripted in the past, and I was doing research and kept coming across Shonen Knife as a band, and like, I love them. They're just so quirky, and so like, they just bring a really like fun lightness, if that makes sense. Like, of course, it's not always light what they sing about, or, you know, I don't mean it in that way, but like, their energy is just so bright, and I love the feeling I get when I listen to songs like Concrete Animals.
And I think the reason why I've never listened to Shonen Knife ever is because they weren't popular in maybe this part of Asia, Southeast Asia, and because of who they were influenced by their early British pop punk bands and those early sounds from like girl punk bands from the States as well. Maybe that's why their genres and their market for their music has predominantly gone to the West. Yeah, that's also one possibility.
No, that does make a lot of sense. I think that's probably 100% correct. So, well, I mean, we are kind of winding down, but before we continue on with our wonderful journey through these 90s nostalgic hits, I have another small set of announcements for you. I am asking all of you to please join our Patreon Donors Club. If you want to hear up to double the amount of songs on this episode, as well as Ethel and I, you know, reminiscing about a lot of wonderful and cool things concerning these 90s rock bands, please join our Patreon Donors Club, starting at just $1 a month. For all of the details at what different levels there are, you can see our website at jtop10.jp/club. So, I hope that you will consider joining us there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Andy, for your announcement. And coming in at number 6 is none other than the very famous punk J-rock band Bucktick with their 1990 single, Aku no Hana.
Number 6. We'll be right back.
Aku no Hana, which means Flowers of Evil, was the title track of Bucktick's fifth studio album, which was released on CD and cassette, in case everyone forget what cassette is, on 1st February 1990. The album was digitally remastered and re-released on September 19th, 2002, with two bonus tracks. The title comes from Charles Baudelaire's volume of poetry titled Les Fleurs du Mal. In 2017, Bucktick received the Inspiration Award Japan at the MTV Music Awards Japan 2017 for inspiring artists during their 30-year-long career. In 2020, the band released their 38th single, Datenshi, simultaneously with their tribute album, Parade 3, respective tracks of Bucktick, which featured numerous guest artists performing covers of their music.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I actually have listened to Bucktick over the years, but I swear, I could have sworn that they did a closing theme song for Rurouni Kenshin as well, but I cannot for the life of me remember what it was called.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I don't think I have the cataloged memory like you might have about Rurouni Kenshin.
It wasn't Bucktick, sorry, my bad. I got it mixed up with another guy. It's Siam Shade, sorry, not Bucktick, but
oh,
yes.
No problem.
Okay.
I mean, either way, I think, well, I know we've been talking, I think pretty much all of these bands, since they are pillars of the 90s rock community, Bucktick is another band that I know just comes up a lot in the festival
circuit.
Yeah, exactly. They just constantly are performing, and I've seen numerous recordings of performances on YouTube and things like that too. So,
Definitely. And so, I guess everyone, if you've ever wanted to explore Bucktick, so Bucktick was actually, apparently they were one of the first people to start the Visual K movement. They still dress fairly flamboyantly, I would say, even to this day. So you can imagine like 40, 50 something year old men still dressed up with amazing brooding looks with amazing hair and eyeliner. But yeah, they are still around to this day and they are still pretty cool. And yeah, feel free to explore more of the music.
Definitely. So, continuing the trend of, you know, maybe older men continuing some leather and other type of very fun and flamboyant fashions, let's go on to our next band, which is Dear André with their song Cage from 1999.
Number 5. We'll be right back.
Metal band Dear On Grey formed in February 1997. This song, Cage, was Dear On Grey's fourth single and is still considered one of their most popular songs. It appeared on the album Gauze, the band's first studio album, which was released on July 28, 1999. The album's five tracks were produced by X-Japan co-founder Yoshiki Hayashi, all of which had been previously released as singles. Dear Andre's drummer, Shinya can be found on his official YouTube channel trying out new hobbies such as fishing and needle felting. I love that so much.
It sounds like a retirement hobby YouTube channel.
It really does. It really, really does. And that's okay. They earned it. They were rocking so hard for all of us in the 90s that now I think we can allow our idols to begin to relax a bit.
Indeed, indeed. If I'm not mistaken, I think the vocalist was one of the shorter vocalists on the circuit. I don't remember why. It was him and probably there's a couple more. I think from KRA, the Visual K band KRA, I think the lead vocalist was also quite short. Yeah.
Representation for our short kings out there.
Yes, they are. Yes, yes, I'm very sure she was one of the short ones. So, there you go. There's nothing to do with the band, it's just me being silly. But yes. Okay. So, thank you, Annie, so much for Dorian Gray. Before we continue with the rest of this episode, here is one more last announcement. Are you an indie Japanese music artist? If you do create Japanese music and want some exposure, please get in touch with our music director, Hayley, by sending her an email at hayley@jtop10.jp, along with a song you would like us to feature on our show. Now, coming in at number 4 is none other than the gods themselves, X-Japan, with their 1991 single, Say Anything.
Number 4.
So you've just heard Say Anything, which was originally featured on the third studio album by XJAPAN titled Jealousy, which was released on 1st of June 1991. Say Anything was released in December 1991 and was XJAPAN's last single released under the name X and the last to feature Taiji on bass. The single's B-side was a live version of Silent Jealousy, which was recorded at the Yokohama Arena. The single went on to become the 33rd best-selling single of 1991 and was certified platinum by the recording industry RIAJ of Japan. The song was also used as a theme song for the 1991 to 1992 TV crime drama series Lullaby Keiji.
I mean, we have finally arrived at the... I think, like, our episode has kind of been building up to this moment a little bit with all of our mentions of XJAPAN.
Yes, they have. They have. And and I think everyone should explore XJAPAN's music. They are very amazing. I don't know how to explain it, but you can't think of Japanese J-rock music without thinking about XJAPAN. And because you have the heavyweights of the industry, you had Yoshiki, you had Sugizo in there, and these two are the ones that I really do know. And originally, Hide was also part of this very, very enigmatic and very famous band. Unfortunately, he did pass away in 1998, which was why there was a reshuffle in their member setup. But it was Yoshiki, Hide, and Sugizo, and that was X Japan for me. And oh, these guys, this is definitely one of the older bands we have on our set list for this week, and they are still performing together, on and off, and they're still really really active. And
no, definitely, and amazing. Yeah, you constantly see them, cropping up in Kokuhaku and all of the major music events and being featured on television and everything. It's
great,
very prolific. Well, without further ado, I mean, I am also very excited to introduce our next very prolific and I would say influential band at our number three spot at this countdown. It's Judy and Mary with their song Sobakasu from 1996.
Number three.
Just
Judy and Mary formed in 1992 when bassist Yoshihito Onda met vocalist Yuki Isoya in Hokkaido. They released 7 albums, 3 compilation albums, and 22 singles before breaking up in 2001. Sobakasu was Judy and Mary's 9th single, used as the first opening theme for the anime series Rurouni Kenshin. What an amazing through line of Rurouni Kenshin we've had on our list today as well.
Yes. Oh my god, indeed.
Right. I mean, I think that just goes to show you that Rurouni Kenshin and anime has had a really strong tie-in to the Japanese music scene and making bands popular, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, on that note, when you were talking about how animes influence bands, I believe at that time, Rurouni Kenshin was probably one of the first few animes, especially in the early 90s. There was like a slow uptick eventually of people associating animes with like being the platforms for new bands or bands who are trying to make a major debut to kind of like hitchhike on some of these animes to become like their opening or closing ending theme songs, and then they become very famous, which is pretty much still the trend that still continues on today. But it sort of started like probably in the late 80s or the early 90s. That was like when there was this click, this makes sense. It makes total sense. Like, market the anime, market the band, bam, everything becomes famous.
Bam, money. That's what that means.
And fame. But yeah, just in case everyone doesn't realize, so what Andy mentioned, Yuki Isoya, is actually the vocalist Yuki, the very famous solo artist Yuki. This is her band she started back in the day before she became a solo artist. And I love Sobakasu so much. In case everyone doesn't know, Sobakasu means freckles.
Yes, that's right. No, yeah. Exactly.
I super love this song. It's like on my all-time list of songs. This is a nostalgia trip for me, but yeah.
Yes, no, I'm right there with you. Like, I think, yeah, Judy and Mary, it doesn't get much better than that.
It does not. Oh, but it does. Coming in at number 2 is none other than the most wonderful Japanese rock band out there that I keep saying, Le Arc and Shell, with their 1998 single, Honey.
Number 2.
So you've just heard Honey, which was Lark and Shell's 11th single released on the same day as both Shinsoku, Lose Control, and Kaso on 8th of July 1998. Honey was used as the fourth ending theme song for the anime series ReLIFE, and currently, Lark and Shell is celebrating their 30th anniversary, releasing their single Mirai digitally on 31st May of 2021, with a CD release planned on 25th August. The band also has the anniversary VR Museum to celebrate their 30th anniversary too. And they also have a new song titled Forever, which will be the opening theme song to Eden Zero. So Lark and Shell, Height Was Everything. I don't really listen to a lot of Lark and Shell, but performance value, I would so love to go for a Lark and Shell concert. I do know that they had one a few years, maybe about 6-7 years ago, for the first time ever, they came to Southeast Asia and they performed in Singapore. My god, the tickets were so expensive. I was like, I can't go.
Oh no. I mean, isn't that always how it goes? Like, exactly what you said. The performance value is so high.
They are, and it's so OTT. If I'm not mistaken, because the response was so good in Singapore, it went from a one-day thing to a two-day concert.
Okay, well, that's how you know, right?
I mean,
if you're extending tour dates, like, to meet demand and just try and, like, satisfy this, like, high caliber and, like, very high praise that you've gotten, I think, wow. Like,
oh, this was in 2012. Disappear. Holy crap, that's almost 10 years ago. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh! Oh, my gosh!
I was so gutted.
That is wild.
I was so gutted. I was like, no. No. Oh, it just became a single day concert. Damn. That's only one day. It didn't even go 2 days. So I thought, gosh.
Well, even harder to get in then. But mm-hmm. I think, well, even just to make a side note about, the performance value and everything. Like, my introduction to this band was actually through people singing them at karaoke and stuff, or karaoke.
Ooh.
And like, even just, like, I don't want to say, not to be rude or anything, but even just an average person singing these songs, I'm like, this is very incredible. Like, I feel like if I, like, you know, you kind of get the feeling and the power and, like, it just is very evocative music for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I totally agree, and Hyde has an amazing melodious voice and such a powerful voice. Oh! Too good.
Well, I mean, kind of transitioning away from very impressive, evocative things, let's get to our final song on our list. We finally made it all the way through. It is Pink Spider from 1998, of course, by Hide with Spread Beaver.
Number one. We'll be right back.
Pink Spider was the ninth single released by lead guitarist of X-Japan, Hide, and the second under Hide with Spread Weaver. The song's music video was directed by Shuichi Tang, who had previously directed the video for Rocket Dive. Miyavi included a version of Pink Spider on his 2018 album, Samurai Sessions, Volume 3, Worlds Collide. Pink Spider was released on May 13th, 1998, 11 days after Hide's tragic death. The song was named Song of the Year at both the 13th Japan Golden Disc Awards and Space Shower Music Video Awards, and the music video won International Viewer's Choice Award at the 1998 MTV Video Music Awards as well. I mean, this video, like, I it's like burned into my mind as like one of the things that I was so looking forward to. Like, I don't know how to explain it other than I had this image in my mind of this video, and I feel like I'm always chasing it.
I've actually never really listened to Pink Spider. Actually, no, I might have actually listened to Pink Spider. It might be years ago though, but this was one of the most famous songs that was ever released by Hide, and when you were talking about Miyavi, so Miyavi was is probably the next generation at that time of the Visual K bands. I mean, when he joined Due La Quartz, I think he was 15 or 16 years old, but one of his idols at that time in terms of guitar work was Hide, and that's why he put Pink Spider in his Samurai Sessions Volume 3. And yeah, just in case everyone doesn't know that, to the uninitiated, Miyavi was one of the second generation, like, OG Visual K superstars with Due La Quartz. Mm. And especially if you've never heard of the very, very, very famous Visual K, I think it's now no longer active anymore, but yeah, they were part of this Visual K production company called PS Company. Yeah, so...
Woohoo. No, definitely. No, and that is to say, this, well, I'm sorry to like transition back to Pink Spider, but this song as well as Rocket Dive, like, if you take anything away, like, of course, listen to and dive into all, if you, something caught your ear in this episode, you know, explore it, but at least do yourself a favor and check out Rocket Dive, the video, and Pink Spider's video, because it's just like, well, kind of hinting at what Ethel was just saying, like, you just get such a strong sense of how visually inclined these bands were, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, how much focus, like, and true, I don't know, like, cultural sway that they had via the visuals, so.
Yeah. Like Japanese glam rock is so different from American glam rock. It's so over the top with the makeup, with the clothes. It's like gothic Lolita. Sometimes I'm not really sure what it is. It's just flamboyant and flamboyant, but with the music that comes out of some of these bands, it's just out of this world. Totally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, Ethel, that brings us to the end of our episode, and well, for you, it's a nice send-off, hopefully. I hope you got to enjoy your last episode with us for a little while.
It is. And what other way would I want to end this little run until my temporary hiatus with Japanese rock songs, which is the thing I love the most.
Yes, no, and I loved it. I feel like you really got to flex your music industry knowledge for all of us today, so I feel truly blessed.
Oh my god, no, please don't flatter me that way. I don't have much industry music knowledge. I'm just old.
you and me both. Okay. All right, so... well...
yeah.
All of our listeners can look forward to Tassie and Lydia, who will bring you a brand new Artist of the Month episode for August, and that will feature Super Beaver. So they will see you just a few days from now. But I hope all of you really enjoyed this 90s nostalgia trip. Got to be a little nostalgic with a few of us oldies over here.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, I really like Super Beaver, and you're a really, really awesome band. I hope Tessie and Lydia enjoy listening to your music. I've really enjoyed listening to Super Beaver for the last few years, and it's super awesome punk rock band from Japan. I love them. You can find them on Spotify, FYI. So I don't know why I plug it here, but yeah, just me being FOMO. But yes, thank you so much, Andy, for hosting this wonderful Japanese rock episode with me as we took a trip back into the 90s. I cannot wait to host again with you, hopefully sometime in October when I'm back. But yes, have a lovely summer, everyone. Do take care of yourselves wherever you may be around this world. And do get vaccinated if you have not, or make educational choices for yourself.
That's right. Well, that'll be all for us, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yes, just before we go, this episode was scripted by none other than Haley, our music director in Japan Top 10, and Stuart. It was also audio edited by Johnson and Tadamichi. It will also be uploaded by Tadamichi, and it has been quality assured also by Haley, and hosted none other by yours truly, Ethel, and of course,
Andy. So thank you so much to our wonderful staff, and thank you all for listening.
Goodbye. Happy summer.
Goodbye.
Bye. Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music
podcast. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.